This is the Man Cave Confidential Podcast, episode number 21. On today's show, we're going to talk about Twitter, the IPO. Coming out of the gate, did they do better than Facebook? Did they do worse? Well, it would be hard to do worse than Facebook, if you remember. We're going to be talking about how to keep your stuff safe when you're not home and how to make a super soup safe. Just happens to be one of those. We're going to be talking about, is sexting cheating? Somebody in the mailbag wants to know, and if he gets the wrong answer, well, he might be in a little bit of trouble. That and much, much more. So go grab yourself a can of Campbell's soup. I like chicken noodle. And get ready. The Man Cave Confidential Podcast starts now.
Let the enlightenment begin.
The enlightenment actually has begun. About five minutes ago, we started the show, but I didn't start the recording. So it's kind of funny. When you don't start the recording, it doesn't record.
But this is the new and improved version.
Right. When are computers going to get smart enough to know that I just want to record and the recording should start automatically? Automagically, if you will.
And you mentioned the soup, but I have a taste for curly noodle now because that used to be my favorite.
The big curly noodle?
Yeah.
Campbell's soup, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you can take like 7,000 milligrams of sodium in one sitting.
Yeah. Well, you see, I actually used curly noodle to help my dating scene. I found out one girl that I was interested in actually liked curly noodle soup, and I did as well. And I was talking to her, and I find this out. And when I asked her out and we went on the first date, I brought her two cans of curly noodle soup. And she remembers that to this day.
Curly noodle soup.
Curly noodle. Because it was just something, you know, different, unique.
How did this come up exactly? I want to know the conversation with the young lady.
Just like, as I said, this is a girl who was a year behind me in school. And we'd either walk home from school the same way or, you know, and I just found out we would sometimes walk next to each other. Our friends would, you know, talk to each other. And I heard her say that at the time. And then I remember, you know, even as I said, a couple of years later, I remembered that. And I brought it up when we went out and she thought that was the funniest thing. And I wound up going to prom with her and all that. So it's like, and it's something that was memorable and different. And I think what we talked about some on the last show was, you know, to actually pay attention to what the women are interested in.
It helps.
We'll open some doors.
Yeah, paying attention certainly helps, whether it's in the online dating scene or actually with real live women in real life.
Right.
But curly noodle soup, getting you I would have never put two and two together.
See?
But you were younger, so I understand. It's not like you were at a bar, because that would be kind of weird now, if you were post-college or in college.
Curly noodle soup.
Right, and you're hanging out at the bar, and your pickup line was, hey, you like curly noodle soup? You're like, what? But hey, if it works, you're the curly noodle soup guy now.
Great.
I don't really know how that works, but you know what? There are worse things to be known as, so.
Right. Well, I guess it's better than showing up with a bouquet of broccoli from the grocery store going, hey, you like broccoli?
Unless she mentioned she really, really likes broccoli. But this is and how young were you when the curly noodle soup was first mentioned? Obviously before prom. So it was.
Well, it was probably we were walking home, you know, later. It was like later from maybe church in high school or something, because it was from we went to the same grammar school and all that. And she was in the class with, I think, Jenny McCarthy.
And which was a good class to be in.
Great class to be in. But I mean, she, we'd, you know, walk home that way. And then this is probably like around, it had to be like beginning of senior year. So even at
that young age, women respond to you paying attention to them.
Right.
So everybody can learn a lesson with that. See, I never dated any of the Catholic schoolgirls. I think I probably missed out. But you know, that was just the way it worked. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave that up to you to tell those stories. You know, I mean, there you go. You love the plaid skirts and the button down white shirts and the little what they called a tie, I guess.
Well, sometimes they're a little bit too high strung though, so.
Well, yeah, but see, usually that's the kind, you know, what's the Billy Joel song, right? The good girls start much too late, you know, hey there, but when they do, Oh, it's like opening the gate, I've been told. It's like letting the horse out and boom, going down for that quarter mile. Fast and furious. And by the way you're reacting, I'm guessing that might have been the case, but we don't want to mention any names now.
I guess it depends on the horse.
Right. Your wife might be listening too, and then she might not like that story.
Yes, being the public school girl that she was.
Right. Yeah, see, I married a public school girl. Big mistake. She doesn't cook. Yeah, marry a girl that doesn't cook. I don't know how that happened. Well, I mean, okay, wait, to be fair, there were times she tried to cook, and then I just realized that, you know, going to the hospital for food poisoning probably wasn't the preferred way to go, so I learned how to cook. And I can tell by the way you're reacting now, you want absolutely nothing to do with that topic.
No, my wife knows how to cook. She's a good Polish girl.
See, there you go. You ever go to the Polish place down in Chicago right by Midway Airport, Zala's?
I know that name because I was from the Midway Airport area.
Right. It's like right down. It's supposed to be a great place. We've never gone there. I want to go there. So we should probably maybe just bring the wives and kids and we'll go to Zala's. They're supposed to have great Polish food.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, right on Archer, right by Midway Airport. So if you're from the Chicago area and you've been there, let us know what you think of the place. But I've heard nothing but good things. It looks like a big old world like chalet. When you get up to the front door, it's actually like walking up to somebody's house. You have to like pull the rope, which rings the bell, and they come and let you in. I'm like, how cool is that? You know, that's only one step away from those restaurants, you know, where like you go into, the bar. There's a bar in New York where you go into a hot dog place.
Okay.
In the hot dog place, you know, it's like this little a counter, you know, where they serve hot dogs. You can sit at the counter and, you know, it's a hot dog place in New York. So it's open to like 2-3 a.m., whatever it is. But there's a phone booth in the back corner.
Okay.
Now you go into the phone booth and you hit the right combination of numbers and the wall behind you opens up and you're into a bar.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Like that's only second to something like that. It's very Maxwell smart kind of a thing. Which I dig that kind of stuff. I've always wanted to build something here. They have, even in the house where they have, you can get bookcases that fit into like closet doors. For instance, in our basement area, in the studio right here behind me, The doors that look like they're just closet doors, which feed into the furnace room, They make bookshelves that would sit there and look like they're a bookshelf that you can actually move out of the way then like a closet door. And they're actually bookshelves. I mean, you can put your books and everything else in there. But if somebody didn't know that was a door, They would never know it existed. I dig that kind of crazy stuff, which is one of the reasons I, you know, pulled this story about the making the can safes.
Right.
Because that's something that, you know, it's very low tech, you know, kind of a spy stuff. And I always think these things are funny, especially when you see, you could buy a lot of this stuff on Amazon now. It used to be harder to find whether you were buying a soup can that opened up to put your stuff in. You know, just big enough to put your money or jewelry or books, which were hollowed out in the middle for the same thing.
Right.
And I was...
Crook reads an economics book?
Right. I mean, you just have to make sure it doesn't look out of place because, you know, I hate to tell you, any decent thief knows these things exist. So if they have enough time in your house, you know, they're going to look through your soup cans, believe it or not. And most of them, they're not weighed the same as a normal soup can. And obviously it doesn't feel like you're swishing liquid around. So it's a dead giveaway if somebody actually picks it up.
Right.
But I think it's interesting that, you know, people still make this. And I guess it's better than nothing, especially if somebody has, just very little time and they're trying to get in and out. Maybe you will fool them.
Right.
You know, but it's hiding your valuables in plain sight, which is a lot easier to do than, you know, getting a safe, although a safe would be much, well, safer.
Right. Well, when my aunt got married, they spilled all her the dog treats and stuff that she had for the dog, spilled it all on the floor because a lot of people from that generation used to keep money, you know, in open boxes in the cabinets, you know, current food, real dog treats, just, you know, money shoved in there. So that's why they were digging through all that.
Right. So they look for it. They know what they're looking for. I've read a couple things online. One of them I thought was interesting was with a reformed thief. who said that the best thing you could possibly do in your home, if you're going to get robbed, and you don't know you're going to get robbed, but in the case that you do get robbed, the best thing to do is put a 10 or a 20, put some money in your nightstand, you know, or in the, you know, in the cabinet in the kitchen where most people hide their stuff, because then there's a much greater chance they'll just think that's your mad money. That's just the money that's at home. You know, hide it a little bit, you know, obviously don't leave it out like you're, you know, tipping the maid at a hotel.
Right.
But, you know, hide it enough to where if they find it, they'll think that's it. They said as a thief, the number one thing that would set him off that there was more money somewhere is if there was no money in the normal places.
Right.
Because then he knows you're putting it somewhere else. Because everybody keeps some cash around. You're putting it somewhere else. So the best thing you can do, I mean, hide $1,000 somewhere really good, but make sure you leave 100 scattered around elsewhere. So the, you know, you keep a majority of it safe.
Right.
And also try to make it so, you know, it fits in. And if you can do, like you said, in an actual bottle of, you know, or a box of like Captain Crunch or something, much better than, you know, having a can of soup that's like Joe's soup brand and everything else you have is like Campbell's. And, you know, that's why those fake cans used to be hard to buy, because before they start licensing, you know, the actual names and from the actual companies, it was a little bit harder to pull it off.
Right.
But where do you hide your cash, Shark?
And those fake rocks outside.
Right. Which is great. You know, it's just one of those things. Always try to be different. And, you know, I like the concept of the books and everything else. But like you said, if somebody has enough time, they're going to just throw every book off your shelf, every CD. You know, of course, in our case, I've got, you know, a couple thousand CDs. So if you just have cash in one of them, it's right. going to be really hard to find.
Right.
Because you can't just really throw them all on the floor. It might not open up.
Right.
But it's an interesting thing to me. And it's like, well, how to keep your stuff safe? Because, you know, or even if you're a kid in college, something like that, where people are constantly coming in and out of your room, you know, figure out something that people would never want and hide it in that.
Right.
You know, don't put it in a roll of toilet paper, because somebody might really need a roll of toilet paper.
And they might need soup.
Right. They may need soup. So, you know, you got to really be, you got to be a little bit more careful and do that. But to me, that's always been an interesting thing. So if you've made something, you know, if you've created your own secret super hiding place, let us know what it is. Man Cave Confidential at mailbag at mancaveconfidential.com, or hit us up on Twitter at the Man Cave Guys, because I'm curious what other people are doing. Of course, you might not want to put it on Twitter, because then anybody that knows you will know exactly where to rob your stuff the next time they're at your house.
Right.
So it's one of those things that's hard to talk about, because it's like, if you have one of these things, you don't want to get specific with anybody.
Right.
You know, just like you don't want to give anybody the, in the latest episode that we just watched of Person of Interest, great show. Mm-hmm. There was a psychologist, psychiatrist, whichever he was, which was also a criminal. And he was breaking into people's banking accounts, because he would put them under hypnosis and he would ask them the questions that what was like in their bank, you know, we need to reset your password or whatever.
Right, right.
You know, like mother's maiden name. Where did you meet your spouse? What was the name of your favorite band in high school? Well, you're dealing with people's early lives and problems. So he asked in roundabout ways to get the answers to all these questions, and then was stealing their money.
Oh, God.
So always be careful. If somebody calls you up, this would be a number one red flag. I know we talked about the phishing and spams in another episode, Shark, but here is a red flag. If somebody calls you up, and it's like, hey, we're taking a survey. You might have won a brand new Mustang. What was your favorite color as a child? What street did you grow up on?
Right.
What's your mother's maiden name? Don't answer.
Don't answer.
No. And what I do on a lot of those now, because I'm ultra paranoid, as Steve Earle once said, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they ain't out to get you. But what I do is I just make up answers, and you have to remember what the answers are. But mother's maiden name, I'm not going to give the real one.
Right.
I'll make something up that I'll remember. But if somebody's doing a little bit of research on me, hell, genealogy is such a popular thing. It's not hard to trace somebody's mother's maiden name.
Right.
So make up your own answers to those questions and, you know, just answer something. So, you know, again, if you graduated high school like I did, you know, in 1988, if they ask you who your favorite band is, answer who your favorite band in high school was, Taylor Swift. She wasn't even born in 88. So nobody's going to guess that. You got to be smart, man. You got to be smart to outsmart the system, Shark.
Or you could just hang up.
No, I'm just saying, when you actually go and you're setting up an account with your bank or something where they make you do these stupid questions.
You have to fill it out, yeah.
Right. You know, it's like, who was your favorite band in high school? Well, lie. Make up something that doesn't make any sense. But you have to remember that in case you actually do lose your password. In which case, now you're screwed because you've outsmarted the system, but you've also outsmarted yourself.
Otis Day and the Night.
Right, Otis. We loved when Otis played at our high school, man. He was like in that movie with Belushi, Animal House.
Otis is a good time.
I know. That was the weirdest promotional poster I think we ever saw in high school. Otis is a good time. I don't know. You guys are sending mixed signals for a Catholic high school.
He wanted, I think, $8,000, and we only sold $3,000 worth of tickets. School kind of took a loss.
Yeah, but it was still a good party.
Oh, yeah. Made the yearbook.
Yeah, well, they assumed, you know, again, that people really knew much about Otis Day and the Night. We were in high school. Right. You know, I don't know. But it was still a great show. It was still a great fun. And definitely keep your stuff safe online and in the real world, and lie when they ask questions like that. Just remember the answer.
Remember the lie is really not lying.
Right. It's just like when you deal with your wife. If you're going to lie, remember the lie. Because there's nothing worse than not remembering the lie. Because you're going to get quizzed on it later. Guys forget that. They think women are just going to let it go and then it's never going to be brought up again. They know we lie. That's why a week later they're asking you questions like, why are you asking that again? Because they're like, I want to see if you can answer it the same way again. There you go. That's that telling.
I'm a bad liar.
Right. So what's your tell? I mean, we talked, right? It's what's the tell? Are you like as bad as Brick on, you know, the middle, the television show on ABC, the middle where when the kid lies, Brick, he's like, you know, 10 or 12, whatever he is in the show. And anytime he tells a lie, immediately after he whispers, I'm lying. I could see that for you. That would be about it. That's how bad of a liar you are.
Exactly.
That makes for a better relationship then. Either that or you're pretending to be a bad liar just so your wife never thinks you lie.
My Jedi mind trick.
It could be. Everybody's tried to use that Jedi mind trick at one time or another. And for some reason, it rarely works as good as it does on the movie.
Right.
I don't know. Twitter. Oh, I love Twitter.
I'm a tweetaholic. Got to Twitter, Twitter. I'm a tweetaholic. I got to Twitter, Twitter.
Twitter, nice. IPO. It actually came out at $26 and went immediately up to the $45 range. I don't get it.
Nope. And IPO now stands for I'm pissed off I didn't get in on it.
Yeah, I'm pissed I didn't put any money down. Twitter doesn't make any money. And they've been losing people in the in the younger age brackets, which is where you need to be as a tech company moving forward.
Right.
I just don't understand how people think this is worth money. I really don't, because Twitter, and I'm on record saying this in various places, so you may have heard me go off on rants about Twitter in the past, but it's noise. To me, that's all Twitter is. It's 140 characters of noise, and now within the last week or two, they've upped the game. They've upped the noise ante by when you upload a picture. Now, not through Instagram, of course, because they're pissed off at Instagram because they wouldn't sell to them or whatever. But if you post a picture to Twitter directly rather than using Instagram or Facebook or something like that and linking to it, a little picture shows up in your timeline. It's like, it's horrible. It's just, it's going to be misused for advertising. It just takes up twice the space now, at least, if not more, from a normal tweet as you're scrolling through. It's like, I don't want to see the pictures unless I click on something. Twitter right. was, when it came out, it was genius in its simplicity. It was 140 characters. Right. That was it. There were no pictures. There were no video. It was 140 characters. They didn't even have a way to talk directly back and forth. That whole, you know, at thing where you put somebody's name in and then you can kind of message them. That came later because that's what people started doing.
Right.
But in its simplicity, I loved it. It was 140 characters. It was a great way to, you know, they call it a micro blogging platform, but it was a great way if somebody wanted to follow you. You know, if you had something to say, it was an easy way to do it. And obviously easy to get it onto cell phones because it's such a quick little, you know, thing. Again, no bandwidth. It was 140 characters.
Right.
But it's just gotten into this big bloated mess. They've never figured out how to actually monetize it except to put ads in, and they're really not making any money at this point. So I don't see why people are putting this high of an IPO on it. This is a much higher IPO than Facebook had.
Right.
And Facebook at least is sticky. You know, I mean, people go and spend a lot of time on their Facebook pages.
Well, yeah, they're playing games. They're, you know, checking out, you know, like you said, other things that they're interested in already, not just, you know, people. It could be, you know, updates from other sites or other interests. You know, like if you say like Polar Express, then every week they send out a new picture of the Polar Express or some new phrase or quotes. At least you're subscribing to all that. I'm not just hearing that my friend is now, you know, taking a shower.
Is that what a lot of your friends post in the shower? Hopefully there's no picture along with that one. Because that would be something entirely different then.
Stomach hurts from dinner last night.
You look at last night's feed and it went to El Famous Burrito. Had three. But with Twitter, this was a couple of years ago. Completely different podcast at the time. We had somewhere around 900 or so followers on the Twitter account. It was a political based podcast. And so a lot of the people that were involved on Twitter, you know, it's a very, you know, people loved it as a political platform where people can put out ideas, people can put out links to things. And usually the people that were involved in that were, you know, they're pretty interested, and you would think that they would respond to what other people are doing. Not so much. Twitter, to me, has become, you know, outside of your friends, outside of your real flesh and blood friends, you know, that's a completely different thing because people do want that line of communication. And I think it works fairly well for that. Once you start getting into where you have, you know, people you don't really know in real life, that will follow you back if you follow them. I mean, everybody, you know, that was involved on this particular Twitter account that we were running was involved in politics, was interested in politics. So one day I decided to do a little bit of, investigating and how many people were actually reading the tweets. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted a couple times during the day, you know, a link to our website, which was all it was doing was counting how many hits came in. And I said, hey, if you're reading this, can you please just click this link to let me know you're reading this?
Right.
And out of those 900 people, I think we got 7 hits.
Wow.
So it's nothing but noise. And I know that from trying to read Twitter myself. If I'm following 50 or 100 people and I really want to, I can keep up with it. You know, I can check it a couple times a day, be more than good. Anytime you're over 100 people, and once you get over 300 or so, and especially once you get over 500, you can only follow. If you check Twitter a couple of times a day, what you're really seeing is probably about 1 to 5% of the messages.
Wow.
You know, it's just become a big noise machine. You know, it's not a communications tool anymore to me. It's a big noise machine. It was invented to be a one-way street, and people have tried to change it into a two-way street, and it just doesn't work. The fact that people are following you does not actually mean people are listening to you. Mm-hmm. And I know we did this a few weeks back. There's a website, and I don't recall the name of it, and I apologize for that. But do a Google search for something like Twitter followers real. And there's a couple different websites that are trying, you know, whatever algorithm they're using, they're trying to figure out what percentage of your Twitter followers, and you could put other people's accounts in, which is interesting. What percentage of Twitter followers to any account are real or fake?
Right.
And you and I were doing great. I mean, because we actually are with a lot of people we know and we interact with, and we don't follow them otherwise. And we, you know, I've had you know, kick people off my feed that were very obviously spammers.
Right.
And, you know, we were both in the 80 some odd percentile of real, you know, real users following us. But right. there were a lot of accounts, you know, especially if you start getting into, you know, musicians, the president's account. I mean, it was like 75% fake.
Wow.
You know, and there were some, you know, there were some musicians that were the same way, but it's, you know, it's not necessarily that they bought Twitter followers, but that's something people do just to make themselves seem legit. I mean, you can go buy 10,000 Twitter followers. There are companies that will do nothing but that, where you lay some money down and they have access, you know, they've created 100,000 accounts. And if you're just looking for a number next to you with a higher follower count, you can buy them.
Right.
Makes it completely, absolutely worthless because there's nobody actually listening to you. But for some authors and stuff, that gives you credibility, because when you go to, you know, you try to get to these talk shows and you're trying to get on, you're like, hey, look, I've got a million Twitter followers.
Right.
You might have bought them all, but, right. you know, the people vetting you might not know that. So that, you know, that's why people do it.
But well, it's not just the list. It's the relationship to the list, because if not, then just walk around with the, you know, a good old fashioned phone book under your arm and right. say, you know, everybody.
Right. I can get a hold of anybody that's in this book right now. Got the digits right here. But it's just, so to me, it's ridiculous. The pricing on that this IPO is absolutely ridiculous. There are some people, you know, skimming these articles here. This one's on Fox Business. A Vivek Wadhwa, I'm butchering his last name, W-A-D-H-W-A. He was named on Time's list of one of the 40 most influential minds in tech. He told Fox Business that we are back in the dot-com days. Twitter is a good company, but nothing like these ridiculous predictions we're hearing about. These analysts are smoking something, he said. So if you bought Twitter and you're sitting there at this $45 right now, sell. Because it can be, I'm not a professional, but I can see this thing crashing and burning just because I don't see a use for it. I like the concept. I liked it when it was small, but anything else, it's grown to the point to where it's just noise. There's too many people now just that are, you know, putting up fake accounts, that the fact that, you know, people can follow you. There's so many of these, you know, there's so many of these robots you can go out and buy, these, you know, software programs.
Right.
That you can follow people who are following somebody else and automatically follow people. And if they don't follow you back, they can, you know, they'll unfollow after a few days. It just got to the point to where Twitter has become just an absolute big mess. Right. You know, again, if it's something you just do with your friends, you know, that might be useful.
Right.
But the minute you start following so many people that like to tweet nonstop, it just becomes noise. And as you know, as somebody trying to, you know, with businesses, you know, looking to make a splash in social media and social marketing and that, mm-hmm. you know, it's interesting following this because everybody's still telling you, hey, you need to have a Twitter account. You need to be a two-way street. And sure, there are still some ways you can use Twitter that you can reach out to people. But I think we're more towards it going towards its last legs now, to where sooner than rather than later, it's going to be completely useless. You know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Right.
You know, there's always something new coming out.
Well, yeah. And especially if it seems that you could do much more on other platforms, it's like, you know, nobody wants to go backwards.
Right. Well, see, that's with Twitter, that's what I loved when it came out. 140 characters of text for you to catch somebody's eye. You actually had to be a pretty decent writer.
Right.
You know, you had to be pretty pithy. And I always hated, even back then, when people would, you know, they would complete their thought over like 10 messages. And it's like, right. no, that's not what it's about. 140, that's it. Don't post 8 things in a row and just keep continuing what you're saying. You know, that's not for that. There are other sites that allow you to do that. The fact that they'll now incorporate video and pictures right in the timeline, I hate it. And people are dropping off like flies, but all of a sudden it goes IPO and people buy it. It's a bad sign. I mean, it's good for Twitter.
Right.
You know, but it's a bad sign that, you know, we may be coming towards another internet bubble sooner than we'd like. I mean, all these companies, I mean, it's an interesting thing because the internet didn't really exist that many, you know, 10 years ago when we grew up, we didn't have the internet. So we're watching this. evolve from nothing.
Right.
And from where it started, I mean, it's amazing already. And with all these little things that pop up, I mean, if you remember, people would have spent a lot of money on MySpace just a few years ago because that was the big thing.
Right.
Now it's dead. AOL was the big thing. Now it's dead.
Right.
Anybody that thinks Facebook and Twitter are the end all, you're smoking something, like this analyst said.
Right.
But hey, you know, who am I? I'm just a tech guy.
You are listening to the Man Cave Confidential podcast.
Was there something else besides like MySpace or something else that was?
Friendster was one of them.
Okay.
You know, that was one of the early ones. And, you know, even Facebook at this point, from what I've been reading, you know, more and more kids are dropping off Facebook for the usual reason, which is mom and dad are using it. It must suck.
Right. It's not cool anymore.
No. And I mean, I think a lot of people realize, and maybe some don't, that sites like this, and I've heard this from, you know, both marketing people and from, you know, and from government people, which is, you know, it used to be hard to find out information about people.
Yeah.
Now they're just giving it away. It used to be hard to investigate somebody. It's like, you know, I mean, really, 10 years ago, if somebody wanted to know where you were, you know, 4 weekends ago on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, it was nearly impossible to know.
Right.
Now there's a really good chance you were tagged in a Facebook picture Friday night 4 weeks ago.
Right. Or using words like, our annual trip for this on Labor Day.
Right.
Well, guess where you're going to be next Labor Day?
I'm going to be in your house looking through the soup cans. That's where I'm going to be. But that's just me.
Hide it in the Death Wish coffee container.
I know. We need some Death Wish coffee. I need to order Death Wish coffee. I need it. If you missed the Death Wish coffee episode, that was last episode, so go back and listen to that one. Twice the caffeine. Death Wish coffee. What, I mean, really, what could be better than twice the caffeine?
Exactly. But getting back to the pictures and the events and the, you know, there's people who are basing if you're going to get hired or not for a job.
Yes.
Based on what somebody said about you on Twitter, on Facebook, on, you know, LinkedIn or something. So, in a way, there's so many fake endorsements on the plus side that I heard that a lot of employers are giving the new hires tests of, you know, are they competent enough? Not just somebody endorsed you on some site, you know, not just because you have some, you know, certificate from Joe's College that says that you took a Microsoft class. You know, they're looking into this. It's becoming, you know, there's too much of it to the point that it doesn't mean anything anymore. And employers are going to say, you know what, there's going to be more negative than good. So we're going to do our own testing.
Well, your past is coming back to haunt you. I mean, there's right. A lot of kids right now in high school that are, you know, posting things on Twitter that they think are completely anonymous, and their parents probably aren't paying any attention, and they're using either, you know, the vulgar language, which I know we use it here every now and then, but we're adults and we're doing it in the guise of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And they will say things. You know, maybe they'll make a, you know, racist joke or a gay joke, or they'll make a joke that's going to really piss somebody off.
Right.
And they'll make this on, you know, on their Twitter account when they're a sophomore in high school. And yeah. They just happen to be going for a scholarship for, you know, college 3 years later. And they look up your name online and that's what pops up, and you don't get the scholarship because of it.
Right.
You know, and you thought it was just, you know, you were having fun, but there's very little context. I won't say there's no context on the internet, but there's very little context when this kind of stuff, a Twitter posting picture, Facebook thing gets pulled up. You know, I can't even imagine. I mean, that's the one thing. The internet is forever.
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that. As a tech guy, I understand that even if I put up a website today and take it down tomorrow, there's still a record of that somewhere, most likely.
Right.
Google has come along. The spiders come along and they're looking at every site because that's how they give you your search results. And they're making a copy of the page and it's there.
Right.
You see all of these. And I know we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but you see, you know, all of these selfies going out, which again will lead right into our next topic. But you see these selfies coming out where young girls are sending out pictures of themselves, either, you know, in a bikini or less, you know, and they're sending them out just to their boyfriend or something, who then posts them to his friends, and then you can't get those back.
Right.
You know, there's no delete button on the internet. You know, and people think there is. I mean, people think like, hey, no, just take that off now. Like, well, no, it's out there, man. I mean, once one person saves it, you know, there's no getting it back. Right. And these are the kind of things that, you know, can haunt you down the line. And I mean, I know it, you know, it may seem stupid, but in, you know, you could say the dumb 16-year-old girl today that's taking the, you know, the selfie picture in the mirror of her standing in her bra and panties and sending it to her boyfriend. Well, now she might be running for president in 25 years.
Right.
Somebody's going to pull that picture out and it's going to screw her.
Right.
Because they'll be like, look, she doesn't have any sense in her head. Look what she did as a kid.
Right.
And it's scary. I mean, it's scary the fact that it used to be when we were kids, if you screwed up, and we all did in one shape or another, it was really self-contained.
Right.
You know, it was contained to your family. It was contained to just a few friends that maybe knew about it. Now, it's a whole different world.
Right. Well, that, I just saw that quote or funny phrase that says, for people over 40, I'm glad I did all my mistakes before the internet.
Yes. It was a lot easier back then, because now we can lie about it and there's no way for anybody to tell that we're lying. Well, except right. for you, because you're a horrible liar.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there was no way. Yeah. I mean, there was no, there just didn't exist,
you know, or if somebody takes a picture of you
right
at something and you didn't even know they did.
Right. So, well, that's the scary part. I mean, to me, that is absolutely the scary part, which is, you know, they're kids that are dumb enough, adults that are dumb enough to take pictures of themselves doing things. But, you know, who's to say that your kid's not at a party doing something he or she shouldn't be doing? You know, and somebody else takes a picture and puts it on Facebook.
Right.
Well, your 16-year-old is sitting at the party, smoking a joint, drinking a beer. Their best friend uploads it to Facebook, forgets to block it from the world, and all of a sudden the local police see it.
Right.
You know, there are so many repercussions.
Right.
Be careful with what you send or post on the internet.
Right.
And always assume somebody's watching.
Well, yeah, I would never leave even a voicemail message that I, you know, wouldn't want the entire company to hear or something when I, you know, would do that for a job or something. So I would always pretend like the president of our company was listening, or like I said, it was going to get played over a speakerphone and other people were going to hear it. And that worked out a lot, because I know people that got fired for that.
Right. And they're probably, if you think they're listening, they probably are. Because any decent sized company at this point in time, anything you do at work, and I know people, again, they're not up to speed on what the technology is, but if you're using your computer at work, or even if you bring your own laptop in at work, if you're plugging into the company network, you know, if you're on their Wi-Fi or you're hardlining into the Ethernet port, and that's how you're getting your internet, is through your company's internet, they can and most likely are intercepting your traffic. Anything you send or receive in an email, they will see.
Right.
You know, so be very careful. I mean, there's been a lot of people that have gotten caught, you know, even doing something as benign, you know, as looking for a new job.
Right.
The last thing you want to do at work, even if you're on your own laptop, unless you know how to either set up a virtual, you know, private network, a VPN, and bounce it through something like that, or you have to make sure everything you're doing is encrypted, because if your browser is encrypted, it's very hard for your employer to tell what you're on. But if you just start, you know, popping up on Craigslist, or, you know, you're on monster.com and it's not encrypted and you're looking for a job, that's grounds for dismissal in a lot of companies.
Right.
Because they figure you're going to be quitting anyway. So they may as well, you know, beat you to the punch and get you out, because an employee that's looking to get out is probably, one, not doing their job very well, or two, might be looking to, you know, steal company secrets or something on the way out.
Right. Or just the fact that they're being paid and they're, you know, on the internet looking right now. If you looked on your time at home, you could still be the unhappy employee, but at least you're doing it on your time.
Right. It's better to be the unhappy employee at home.
Right. At
it's home. Much safer. Let me tell you, it's absolutely much safer. But let's stick our hands into the dirty, greasy, sticky mailbag once again and see what we have.
one of the quickest mailbag questions we ever had. It's a one-liner. Dear Man Cave Confidential, is sexting cheating? Signed, Mr. Wiener. Or is it Weiner?
No, it's Wiener. Is it Anthony Wiener? Esteemed politician from the state of New York, Anthony Wiener?
I think it's just somebody having fun with the name.
Right. Or we just change the name to Anthony Wiener because, well, it's easy to make a joke at his expense.
Instead of Bruce from Denver.
Right. Anthony Wiener has found out his wife's answer to this question already, which is sexting cheating. She thought so, yes.
Right.
He got himself into a little bit of trouble. And there, again, if you're in a political office, see, he didn't mention if he was actually, in a political office or if he was married or when he sent the question in. But if you're in a political office, I'll tell you, don't sex, no matter what. Never. Don't.
All right. I mean, it's again with the voicemail thing. Don't send something that you wouldn't mind being a public picture, so to speak, or a public message.
Right.
I mean, it goes back to my voicemail thing. Where if it does get blasted out or somebody accidentally listens to it on speakerphone, well, the same thing with a picture. They, even though their intent was fine, all of a sudden, oops, it got left open. Oops, it got forwarded somewhere.
Right. Right. And it's, now sexting used to be, again, this is in the olden days when it was just text messaging before you had photos on phones and definitely before you had things like Snapchat, which immediately destroy the photo. But we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But it used to be, just texting. And then it turned into, which I think there is maybe a little bit of a difference, especially if you don't know who you're going back and forth with, which, again, you could refer to the past episode. Is your online girlfriend really a female?
Or human.
Right. Or even a human. That's possible. It could just be a very well-programmed computer script. I think there is a big difference between the, between just sending out, dirty text messages to sending out the pictures. And there are so many red flags. But to answer his question, and then we can get into a little bit more of a discussion, because I want to just send up the red flags to the guys out there, because that's who's listening, we assume. Again, if there's women listening, feel free to let us know at mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. But is it cheating? Technically, no. Would your girlfriend or wife or whoever be pissed if they found out? Probably. Would they consider it cheating? Maybe your real answer is have that conversation when you start a relationship on what is and isn't cheating, because there are certain women out there that might not have a problem with it. I mean, there's the, there's the old saying, well, whoever, he comes home to me. So that's fine for some of this. That's usually going on something like, say, a strip club shark.
Right.
Where some women go, okay, I understand guys will be guys, and every now and then you're going to go to the strip club with your buddies, and then you're going to come home and probably jackhammer away.
Right.
But
at least you're not pulling your pants down at the strip club and showing everyone.
Right.
That's kind of where you draw the line.
Well, see, if you do, there's some big burly gentlemen that come find you and throw you out on your ass after probably, roughing you up a little bit.
Who doesn't agree with your views?
Right. Who doesn't agree on viewing your penis? The bouncer at the strip club, not really happy. His day is bad enough as it is. If he's got to see your junk, he's really not going to be happy. So he's going to take it out on you. Just fair warning there.
Right.
But, there are different things. I mean, that's something that if your particular partner says, hey, if you just want to trade pictures with somebody that you're never going to meet, if they say it's okay, well, then I guess it is okay.
Right.
But when you look at anything like this, you have to realize that there is a possible, this is a possible baby step towards more.
Right. Well, see, here's the thing. It's like, okay, go back to the original point of basic texting. Okay. If you're going to flirt through texting, then keep in mind, yes, that's always going to be there. Would you have said those words in person? Because even so, those words in person, provided nobody's got a recorder going,
right,
are gone And you could always say, oh, I didn't say that, or that's not how I said it, or you took it the wrong way. But once it's in a text form, there it is. And people are going to say, no, you did text this. Here it is. You know, so it's like, go back to the, you know, I'd be more inclined to go to the old fashioned way of just, if you had to say something, say it to the person's face. And that way, you know, if you wouldn't do that, well, then don't send it through the internet.
Right. Of course, there's a bit of anonymity with the internet, which some people would argue that makes it okay. And the other thing, like you said, the text, there is the paper trail, if you will. There's the digital paper trail that can prove you did or didn't say something or did and didn't send a picture. That's where apps like this, Snapchat, come into effect. And everybody thinks they know how Snapchat works, and maybe you do to a certain extent. And they think it's safe. And I'm sure this is the way a lot of these girls, you know, send photos, and guys. I mean, Grady Sizemore of the Indians did that. I was my wife's computer. Remember we talked about this? I'm going to take a slight detour here.
Right.
That we were re-upping the Hackintosh software.
Right.
It's a Windows machine now. The Apple software's gone. After 5 years of, you know, really just having a pain in the ass with updates on the Hackintosh, it went back to Windows, and that's fine. But we had all of her stuff. You know, her computer was completely backed up, and I'm like, okay, what do we need to pull back on here? And in her documents folder were the Grady Sizemore naked pics. Mm. And I'm like, do we really need to save these? I mean, you know, Grady, where have you gone, man? You know, you had a few great years, then you got injured. You know, maybe taking the naked pics were bad karma. But So there are guys that send out these kind of pics. He sent them out to a girlfriend. I don't know how they got online. Most likely the girlfriend went to her friends and went, hey, check this out. And one of her, you know, friends, you know, uploaded it to the internet, and there was Grady. So this isn't just women and young girls that it happens to. It can happen to Major League Baseball players as well, where they're, where your photos make it out onto the internet. Now, there's this, the app called Snapchat. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple kind of thing. Again, this, you want to talk about something that is, you know, like the old television show, Get Smart. Well, right. The concept of this app is you take your picture, you send it to somebody using Snapchat, and you can put on there, delete this photo after, you know, 1 second, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it is. So you send it to your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever. And what your concept is, boom, it's going to be gone in 5 seconds or 10 seconds. No big deal. No digital paper trail, right?
Yeah.
Right. See, I can tell by your reaction there, you understand that that's not entirely true. Because here's the thing. Apple iPhones, the Android phones, I'm sure have a very similar functionality, but I have never used one, so I'm not going to go on record except to say I'm pretty 99% sure it has this functionality. On an iPhone, if you press the power button and the button on the bottom of the phone at the same time, it will take a screen grab, meaning whatever is on your screen at that point, it will save as a photo.
Mm-hmm.
When that, you know, when your girlfriend sends you the naked picture of herself in the mirror and it's on a Snapchat that's going to disappear in 5 or 10 seconds, as long as within 5 seconds, you can press those two buttons at the same time, you have just saved that picture.
Mm.
The other thing I found out about Snapchat recently was that if the other side isn't there, so say your girlfriend just sent you a Snapchat, Shark, and your phone is off.
Right.
It sits there in their servers waiting for you.
Ah.
So that picture will live as long as it takes for you to get it or for somebody else to intercept it.
Nice.
So you think it's safe. It's not safe, kids. It's not safe, girls. It's not safe, guys. I know you may trust your boyfriend. You may trust your girlfriend. You may trust your husband or your wife and think you're just having fun. And they may not even realize what they're doing by, you know, oh, I'll save a copy of this. And let me just show a friend. She would never show anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and the next thing you know, it's all over the internet. You know, so sexting is an interesting thing. And going back to the previous episode's question of, is my online girlfriend real? I'm still going to go, if you've never met her in person, guys, 99%, no, not real. 99. And that may be conservative. It may, maybe should be like 100 right. or more. I know mathematically that doesn't work, but this is the internet. And here's the thing. There is a plethora of sites out there that already have pictures of girls taking these Snapchat style photos. Often there are multiple pictures of the same girl. So say again, some girl sent this to her boyfriend. You know, she's fully dressed in the first one. Then right. The next one, she's just in her bra and shorts. And the next one, she's in bra and panties. And the next one, who knows?
Right.
There are sites where these pictures exist, which means you could be Snapchatting with somebody. Right. And there's a 50-year-old guy on the other end. And he's sending you this girl's picture. And what he's doing is going, hey, man, now you send me one. And you're dumb enough to send one.
Right.
You know what happens then? Usually it's, yeah, I'd like 15,000 in small bills. Otherwise, your wife's getting these pictures.
Nice.
I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, it's, and in some people, they deserve it. But guys, we're trying to give you the heads up here. Don't be stupid.
Right.
Understand, technology is not your friend. And I know we've talked about it in the guise of dating sites and stuff. And but it's the same to wherever you go on the internet. Guys, if you want to do some homework, I've done this a couple of times just for shits and giggles and to prove a point to somebody. Go on to find an adult chat site. Log in with whatever guy's name you want. They're always funny because guys always think, you know, that they should use a name like Well Hung Dude. Like, yeah,
hey, that's
man.
Mine.
Right. That's you. You're Well Hung Dude. Nice to meet you. You know, and the, you know, women, it doesn't really matter what your name is. I mean, you can go in as a name as a guy, and most likely you will never be bothered. You will never have an instant message pop up. Nobody will ever talk to you. And then wait however long you think you have to wait. You know, wait 10 minutes. Whatever you want. See if anybody bothers you. Then log out. Log in with the name of a female. I guarantee you in under a minute, you will have multiple pop-up messages.
Right.
And you know how many of these girls are real? None. None of them are real. You know how you can tell? You know, pictures are... See, pictures used to be the way. You know, hey, you, 'cause she could prove, look, she's got pictures, and she wrote my name on a piece of paper. Hey, Photoshop. You know, pictures are easy now because there are tons and tons of pictures of hot young girls out there doing exactly the kind of thing that, you know, like, hey, you know, take a picture in the mirror. Okay. You know, first because they're like, oh, what are you wearing? Well, of course, the guy on the other end is just describing the picture he has that he knows you're going to ask for proof. So pictures, no proof.
Right.
Getting on even on a audio type connection, you know, phone or whatnot, no proof. You want to know why? There are devices that can change your voice.
Right.
You know, so that's no way to tell for sure that, you know, oh, this person's certainly real. Look, my voice can be changed.
Now she's an alien.
Right. Now she's an alien. Or you could just be like, you know,
hey there, dude. Hey, man, what's up? No, I'm a girl.
So your voice can be changed. So you can't believe what you hear. You can't believe what you see on a picture. And I'm going to tell you, you can't even believe what you see on a video because I know for a fact that there are programs out there that will let you route a pre-recorded video to your webcam. So even if you want to be like, look, I'll get on camera for you and you get on camera for me. I mean, I can't believe this isn't the biggest blackmailing schemes ever going on in the history of mankind. Because every guy is stupid and wants to believe, you know, that he's some 50-year-old overweight bald schlub, but there's some like 18-year-old girl that wants to diddle herself on camera with you.
Well, my stuff's pre-recorded. I mean, this isn't me.
Whoa! What are you admitting?
I'm out.
I'm out, dude.
I'm out somewhere. Right. I already said all this. I recorded myself saying yes, no.
Right.
I recorded myself laughing. Someone's here pushing a button.
You can't believe you can have the sooner or later, the shark will just be a soundboard, but you can't believe anything you see or hear on the internet. So be careful because I mean, literally, you know, especially guys that are married. I mean, some guys, otherwise you might just get embarrassed, but it's really easy guys that you're going to, you know, all of a sudden you're going to send the wrong picture or you're going to open up a webcam and do something stupid.
Right.
And somebody's going to come back to you going, you know, if you gave me, you know, $1,000, you know, I might not post this to YouTube.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the long roundabout answer to is sexting cheating. I wanted to add that to that because yes, it probably is wrong in the eyes of your significant other.
Right.
But beyond that, the dangers of sexting, way too high to deal with.
Yeah, the upside and the look at the downside. I mean, is that worth the risk?
No. You know? And say you want to. Okay, now here, let's just one last little thing. Let's say you decide to start getting into this type of behavior with a woman you know. Now you have a whole new line of problems.
Right.
You know, the cute girl at work, you think you're just having fun. You're flirting back and forth. You know, she knows you have a girlfriend or a wife, whichever, you know, whoever you're cheating on, Anthony Weiner. Mm-mm. And yes, we know that's not your real name, kid, but we just picked that name. You know, there are bad things that can happen because if she's trying to separate, you know, if this girl at the office has a real, you know, crush on you or something and wants to get your wife or girlfriend out of the picture, well, now she's got more than enough on you.
Right.
You know, you think you're just having fun, having a little flirtatious, and she's sending you topless photos and you're sending her pictures of your junk. And, you know, your wife gets that in her email the next day. And damn.
Well, look what happened to Tiger Woods. I mean, that woman saved voicemails. I mean, I hear about it if there's more than three or four saved voice messages here that I'm trying to write down sometime. And it's like, really? You know, this woman's saving like dozens of Tiger Woods saying explicit things.
Well, yeah. See, now there's another thing. If you're a millionaire, high profile athlete, politician, movie star, then don't involve yourself in any of this kind of behavior.
Right.
People will find out. But Tiger, I mean, really, he had a good run.
What we talked about on a different episode, I think, was, you know, Wayne Gretzky won't even get into an elevator alone with another woman that he does not know. So it's like he doesn't even want to take that chance that somebody might say he did something and there's no way to prove it. It's like you got to be that cautious.
Yeah, it's a big, old, goofy world. And if you want to hear a great song about Tiger Woods, Dan Byrne has one called Tiger Woods. And you'll never be the same once you hear the song. Guarantee you. Go look it up on iTunes. You'll be happy. So if you want to get in touch with us, there's multiple ways to do that. One, you can just go to our website, mancaveconfidential.com. Click the contact button. Boom, you're getting to us. You can go to your favorite email client. Email us at mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. Same thing. Message gets right to us. We put your question on the air. We most of the time will hide your name unless, you know, we feel you don't need to be.
Unless you're Bruce from Denver.
Right. You know, if you don't need the anonymity, we may not do it. You can catch us on Twitter, the Man Cave Guys. We're going to start trying to do more on Twitter. But like I said, I hate it. It's a lot of noise. But the one thing you always get on Twitter, our system automatically tells you when there's a new podcast on the website. So, boom, you're always knowing when the new stuff comes out.
And look for the new course coming out.
There's many new courses coming out. But we'll tell you soon where to go, what to do, and how you can purchase them and how you can get the best deal whatsoever because you are a Man Cave Confidential listener. So until next time, I am Darren O'Neill, and he is
FJ Shark.
Later.